Chapter 17. The next morning, Lexi made a surprise visit to Nan's. She couldn't shake the feeling that Nan's was avoiding her, and she didn't want to call ahead and tip her off, lest she make an excuse that she was going out. She stood in front of Nan's apartment door, her fist raised to knock, her stomach full of the butterflies that had started fluttering after Jack's comment of all the loose ends leading to Nan's. He'd said he didn't think Nan's was involved, but sometimes evidence can be tricky. He'd pointed out that the feds didn't know Nan's and might interpret things the wrong way. It was best to stick close so they could protect her if need be. As Lexi stood there, the door jerked open. Lexi stumbled back. Nan stared at her from the doorway with wide, startled eyes.
"Lexi, you scared the devil out of me. What are you doing lurking around out there?"
"I wasn't lurking. I was just about to knock."
"Oh, did you call? I didn't know you were coming."
"Sorry. I was in the neighborhood, and I thought I'd check on you since I haven't seen you in a while." Lexi crossed her fingers behind her back and wondered if she'd be struck by lightning for lying to her grandmother. Nan's eyes narrowed.
"Really? It was just the other day we went to Tommy O'Keefe's together."
Lexi hugged Nan's and pulled her inside. "Hey, I can come visit my favorite grandma if I want to, right?" Nan's smile warmed her face.
"Of course, dear. I was just going down to the clubhouse to see if anyone wanted to play some cards, but that can wait."
"Oh, good. Because I was afraid you were avoiding me."
"Avoiding you? Never. I've just been busy. We old ladies have stuff to do too, you know."
"With your new boyfriend?" Lexi asked slyly. Nan's narrowed her eyes.
"Have you been talking to Ida and Ruth?"
Lexi shrugged. "I cannot reveal my sources."
"Well, no worries. There's nothing serious."
Nan's dismissed the notion with a wave of her hand.
"Can I make you some tea or coffee?"
"Coffee would be great." Lexi hung back as Nan started toward the kitchen. "I need to use the bathroom."
"Yes, go ahead, dear. You know where it is."
Lexi sprinted down the hall, a stab of guilt slicing her heart. Instead of turning right into the bathroom, she turned left into Nan's room. Her pulse pounded as she raced to the bureau, quickly pulling out the top drawer. She stuck her nose in and sniffed. No lavender smell. She stole a quick glance toward the hallway to assure herself Nan's wasn't coming, and then plunged her hands into the drawer, feeling gently for the telltale bulge. No sachets. She quickly repeated the process for the other drawers, then, feeling incredibly relieved at not finding any, she darted into the bathroom, flushed the toilet, and walked back to the kitchen.
"Having a little trouble this morning, dear," Nan said, handing her a steaming cup full of dark brown brew.
"Huh?" Lexi's heart fluttered, her face flushed. Had Nan seen her rifling the drawers?
"In the bathroom. Seems you were in there a while."
"Oh," Lexi breathed a sigh of relief. Any worries about Nan's powers of observation failing in her old age were put to rest. The old lady didn't miss a thing.
"I dropped my ring while I was washing my hands."
Nan's raised a brow and gestured toward the dining room table, which sat just outside the kitchen.
"Have a seat. Tell me about the mummy case. I'm afraid I'm a little out of touch on that."
Lexi brought her up to speed, ending with her visit to the Sullivans the night before. Mary and Patty seemed devoted to each other. "Did you know Earl was trying to put the moves on her?" Nan's lips pressed together in a thin line.
"Yes, now that you mention it, I remember that. Mary was not in the least bit interested."
"Even so, men have killed for that."
"You're not implying Patty killed Earl."
Nan's voice rose indignantly. Lexi shrugged.
Have you seen them recently? Talk to them about Earl?
No, Nans answered quickly. Why, it must have been months since I've seen them.
Nan's words squeezed Lexi's heart. Was Nans lying? And if so, what could possibly be the reason?
So, tell me about Earl. What kind of neighbor was he? Lexi asked over the rim of her coffee mug.
Oh, he was awful.
Nan's face pinched.
He built that fence in Ed's yard, and then he kept his trash all over the back, spilling into our yard. Your grandfather was not happy.
Did Grampy fight with him?
I should say not, Nans bristled. Your grandfather was a lawman. He didn't agree with having fights in the street.
But a lot of the other neighbors did, Lexi suggested. Nans straightened the napkin in her lap primly.
I guess so. I don't really remember exactly.
Jack said the police talked to his landlady, and she said they found holes all over his yard after he disappeared. Did you notice those?
Nans looked up, startled. Holes? No, I never did. To tell you the truth, I never actually looked in his yard. It was too messy. I always averted my eyes. I didn't even know he was missing, really. I just hoped he'd moved out.
Lexi nodded. She could certainly understand that with the way Earl acted.
Did you see this stranger that everyone keeps talking about?
Nans looked down at the swirly coffee in her cup.
Yes, of course. Well, I saw a shadowy figure in the backyard, right near the McDonald's house. I remember being worried because they were in Europe, you know.
Yes, I know. Which makes me wonder, if they were in Europe, how did someone get the body into their basement?
Nan's purse chimed, interrupting her from answering. She looked around, spotted the purse in the living room, and grabbed it, pulling out her smartphone. She squinted, then held the phone at arm's length, heaving a big sigh.
It's a text, but I can't make out what it says.
She handed the phone to Lexi.
Can you read it?
Sure. Lexi looked at the screen. It's Ida. They're on their way over.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Lexi handed the phone back. She fidgeted in her chair as she asked the question she didn't really want to hear the answer to.
Why didn't you just pull out your reading glasses, though?
Nans looked around the room distractedly.
I would, but I seem to have misplaced them, and try as I might, I just can't find them in the house anywhere.
Lexi didn't have time to tell Nans she knew exactly where the glasses were, because just then the door burst open and Ida, Ruth, and Helen bustled in.
Oh, Lexi, good thing you're here. We wanted to go to Nussbaum's today.
Don't bother. I already talked to him.
A voice boomed from the doorway, and they all swiveled to see Watson Davies leaning against the doorframe.
Did he confess?
Ida asked, hopefully.
Hardly,
Davies snorted. He wasn't very enlightening.
I think he was fed up after talking to the feds. Anyway, naturally, he denied being involved and said the McDonald's called and told him to stop working on the basement when he was half finished.
Really? Lexi turned to Nans. Do you think that's true?
Gosh, that was a long time ago.
Davies came into the room and pushed the door shut.
He showed me the old bill, and it reflects him doing only half the job. According to the bill, the last date he was there was August 13th, the very day the medical examiner thinks Earl died.
What? That's strange, Lexi said.
Could he have made that bill up?
The mummy case has been in the news, and he had to have known you'd be coming to ask sooner or later.
Possibly, Davies replied. But, I have to say, it does cast suspicion on the McDonalds.
But they were in Europe, Lexi said. The Sullivans have proof.
Proof?
A postcard from Europe, postmarked the day you all say Earl died. Davies crossed her arms over her chest.
Well, something funny is going on, and I don't know who was involved.
That's right, Ruth said, and we intend to get to the bottom of it.
I don't think you'll get there with Nussbaum.
You leave that to us.
Ida leveled her steely blue eyes on Davies.
We old ladies have ways of making people talk that you police folk can't tap into. He might open up to us more, seeing as we're not officials.
Well, I guess it can't hurt.
Davies walked into Nan's kitchen and poured herself a cup of coffee, then turned to regard them over the rim.
Have you guys found out anything new since we last talked?
Lexi recounted her conversation with the Sullivans, leaving out the part about Nan's glasses.
Do you think this Patty Sullivan character could have killed Earl?
Davies asked Nance.
No, of course not, Nance answered. He's no killer, just a man protecting his wife.
There may be more to this than jealousy or even this supposed insurance scam.
Davies turned her baby blues on Nance.
Mona, I haven't had a chance to talk to you about the insurance scam. Did you know anything about it? Your old neighbor, Mr. Johnston, claims Earl had duped a bunch of the neighbors out of money.
I should say not, Nan said indignantly. Mr. Johnston says a lot of things that aren't true. He sits on his porch and makes things up. He's a busybody. I wouldn't put a lot of stock in what he says.
Lexi frowned. Funny thing, he's the only one who didn't see a stranger that summer. You'd think he would have, being on the porch all the time, but maybe he didn't sit out there back then. Anyway, I suspect Patty Sullivan knew about the insurance scam. I got a vibe when I talked to him, even though he denied it. I think he didn't want the wife to know he got conned out of the money. Davies tapped a sparkly blue fingernail on her pursed lips.
Yeah, this insurance scam could be one angle. I think Earl was into something even worse, though. The feds aren't letting a lot of info out, but I heard from a friend of a friend that someone cut off Earl's big toe.
Nance gasped, her eyes wide.
What? That can't be right,
Ruth said.
Blech, that's gross.
Helen countered with a simple,
ew.
Ida screwed up her face and looked at Davies.
What? You mean someone cut off his toe and then killed him?
Yes, except it was the other way around. Someone killed him and then cut off his toe. It was removed post-mortem with a pair of curly pinky shears.